You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. ESPN was just doing the Brady list bunch. And it's kind of true. Look at the young quarterbacks in the AFC East. Allen, Darnold, Tua, and Stidham. We'll see. But
it's a lot of unprovens. A lot of potential, but
a lot of unproven. A lot of
unproven. Well, yeah, what were you thinking there when you said that out loud?
I said that out loud is that a lot of talented guys from college, but we'll find out, You know. I mean, they got good pedigree, that's for sure. And what a young division. Is there any division that has four young quarterbacks like that?
No, there's not. No. And so the thing that started to pop out, so when I watched Tua tape in late December and wrote him up. I watched him very closely last summer and then this summer, and then this last December. And when I wrote him up, one of the things that I saw on tape was I just couldn't get over the amount of times that he was throwing slants to Jerry Jeudy or Smith or Henry Ruggs, and they're going yard. And the more I got through his tape, the more I started to have concerns about some of the stuff that was happening. I felt like you could have plugged a lot of quarterbacks into that system with those wide receivers and had a positive result. And that's something that used to happen with the fun and gun offense. That's the first one I remember because we saw these unbelievable, passing numbers for Florida quarterbacks under Steve Spurrier back in the day. And then we saw it with, of course, I'm not going to go June Jones and all that, but Texas Tech, you saw some of that. But that's not what I'm saying Tua is. However, I will say I do have questions. And what I started to find out was there were other teams during the process, I found out other teams had the same questions I did when they watched tape, which was, is Tua a standalone talent, or how much of what he has done has been, him benefiting from being there with Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, these three unbelievable wide receivers, a little bit of O.J. Howard, but Irv Smith, who was there previously, offensive lineman, two tackles who are going to be drafted. One was in the first round, and Leatherwood, I don't know. We'll see what he ends up becoming. But he's had a lot of help around him. Now, you can say that about everybody. It's always how good was Bobby Cox with the, how good is A.J. Hinch with all those Astros. You can say it about players, coaches, whatever, when they have a lot of talent around them, Phil Jackson. But with Tua, I think there is a sense that, I ask myself, what would Tua have done with the Jets? Nothing. Nobody. Sam Darnold, Tua, there was really nobody other than somebody who's a phenomenal scrambler like Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson could have been able to put up some type of numbers with the Jets. No receivers, no offensive line. You got to find a way to create for yourself. I mean, you have to have some type of escapability to create for yourself. And with Tua, I think there is a legitimate question about can he elevate those around him, or was Tua a good college quarterback who has a chance to be a good pro quarterback, but he is also a little bit reliant upon the talent around him. Because most quarterbacks are that way. That's most quarterbacks. There's very few who truly elevate the people around them. Breeze did it. Manning did it. Brady did it. You can stick Lamar Jackson in many situations, and he's going to win because of his unique talent. Russell Wilson, I believe that to be the same thing. I think Ben Roethlisberger, at one point you could have argued that he elevated the talent around him. That's the question about all those quarterbacks in that division. I don't know how many of those quarterbacks you just mentioned can play above the talent around them.
No, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's a question. Let's see Joe Burrow this year. Because he definitely had the most talent on the football field. And maybe other than the Alabama game, that was pretty equal talent. And he stepped up and he played well. Clemson game as well, played really well. So, you know what? And there was equal talent on both sides. But for the most part, they did. Both Tua and Joe Burrow. And it's the same with Trevor Lawrence. He's got how many wide receivers? And guys that go in the end. He's got a pro running back, and we'll see. But you know what? It's funny. Those guys, look at the guys that are going to be at the top of the draft class. They're guys that are that have unbelievable talent around them and are dominated at the college level. You don't dominate at the college level. And the only one, it's amazing, Pat Mahomes. That's why the Pat Mahomes story is just getting better and better and better. He wasn't dominant in college. He didn't have all those guys around him. But his arm talent and his his natural ability is like now you put good talent and you put – now he's got a roster and he's got an offense and weapons that are superior to guys. And look what he's doing. Look what he's doing.
And I get the sense that he would be really good with a lot of teams. Now, would any quarterback – I think most quarterbacks would be better with Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Let's face it, Kareem Hunt at one point they had, you know, there obviously. I think most quarterbacks in the league would improve their situation if they went to Kansas City under those circumstances. So, yes, some of it is luck of the draw for a quarterback. But the thing with I've had a chance to go back and really take a good look at what the situation was with Mahomes beforehand and after, you know, the reality was before the draft and then after the draft. And the fact is, his physical talents are off the charts, and a lot of people knew that before. But the decision-making and all that stuff, it got much better with Kansas City. And sometimes your decision-making is better when you don't feel like you have to carry everything, when you don't and some of it's just maturity. He got out of an offense that was kind of a wide-open offense and got to something with a little more structure, and I think he really thrived in the structure of Kansas City that allows him to maximize his physical talent. That's why with Bill O'Brien, I think Bill O'Brien's actually done a pretty good job of putting Deshaun Watson in place at times, to maximize his talent. Because we saw how it worked when Deshaun had plus wide receiver talent at Clemson. Dude, even when he made mistakes, Deshaun was, because I saw some mistakes, but he just had a way of really elevating himself. And I'm excited to see what can happen. We saw Deshaun. Okay, John, you talked about Deshaun earlier. We had the Deshaun comment. How much of that was also because he had an elite wide receiver who was the most competitive wide receiver in football today in DeAndre Hopkins?
That's what we're going to find out because a third of his passes went to DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins won 50-50 balls. You're talking about Mahomes. One of the key play in the Super Bowl was a ball he just threw up in the air that Tyreek Evans waited.
Went and made a play, yeah.
He just sat there, waited, because he was so wide open. Right. And we see that, and we saw that with Deshaun. Time and again, he just throws it up to DeAndre Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins makes an unbelievable one-handed catch that he puts between his knees, and he's on the ground, and he holds onto the ball, and that's unbelievable. We saw with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow throws it behind Jefferson. Jefferson makes an unbelievable catch on a back shoulder throw that most guys couldn't go behind and get. But you know what? Those guys pick him up, and that's all you have to do. At Texas Tech, Pat Mahomes wasn't able to do that. He didn't have anybody that can go get those balls. He didn't have anybody that could separate from DB. He had none of that. So, it doesn't matter. What would Deshaun do in Kansas City? Do you think that Kansas City could win big the way that they are winning big if Deshaun was the quarterback?
I think there's definitely a chance.
Yes.
That's not to diminish Mahomes, who I believe is – I think Pat Mahomes is on a different level. I think his poise, leadership – football IQ. I just think Pat Mahomes is a special quarterback. I really buy into Pat Mahomes.
Yes. What if San Francisco had Deshaun instead of Garoppolo?
No, I think they have a better chance of winning.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I would never put Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of Deshaun. But I do think Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the right offense for him. He's tailor-made. But then again, who hasn't been tailor-made for Kyle Shanahan's offense?
Yeah. Right. Right. Kyle Shanahan, you don't think Kyle Shanahan is smart enough to take advantage of Deshaun Watson's talent? Absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. I mean, and Deshaun got stuck, which is why, you know what? I really can't blame Deshaun for wanting 3 years. I'm going to find out. I'm not wasting my whole life with Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans with this mediocre at best roster, with a general manager that is just lost, that is doing some of the dumbest things in football history. I'm going to take a three-year deal. All right, I'm going to get paid $120 million over 3 years.
I didn't know this was going in this direction.
Yeah, I'm going to take, I am going to a three-year deal and $120 million, and I'm going to see. And if we don't get any better, if the general manager doesn't get any better, if the offensive play, if everything, if I don't get more talent around me, if we don't win, I'm out of here after 3 years. I'm done. And then, so Bill O'Brien basically has got, he's got 5 years. Well, man, he's got 5 years, dude. He's got this year and next, the fifth year, and then he's got three more after that. Good Lord.
I'm trying to call Domino's, and they're not open. No pizza places are open right now, but I'm trying to. Is Nick's open? Can they deliver? Del, do you know if Nick's is open right now to deliver pizza?
Yeah, they probably are.
But wouldn't the pizza have to come directly from the Texans?
Or? I'll just say it is.
Well, the
Texans can order
it.
I don't want to hear Deshaun's leaving. I'll get a pizza to him if this is what it takes to keep Deshaun in the city.
Listen,
it'll be like
pizza
5 years,
to me or not to me, that doesn't matter right now, okay?
Well, there's not a pizza in front of you.
Yeah.
It's easy
well,
for you to really say
that really easy
now.
To say when you don't have some of that free Texans pizza coming your way.
No, okay. Deshaun will be here this and next, and then he signs a three-year extension, and he gets $120 million. Is Deshaun here more than 5 years, five more years? The answer is no. The answer is no. Unless they win big. And do you see this roster with another no first or second rounder next year?
I have faith.
How much better
to
is this roster going to be next year? Not.
Yeah. Well, I guess
we'll
test
away
your
them first
theory.
And second rounders. Keep giving them away, Bill. Doing a great job.
If Deshaun is of the mindset that he's putting the Texans on the clock, why would you sign a 3 year? I know why, the money, but why would you want to tie yourself into like 30 almost with the
because
Texans.
You got Bill O'Brien on the other side, and would you get paid and then you go?
No,
and
I
then
don't
you leave.
Think you.
No, but if you actually believe in if winning, fine, Deshaun get his money anywhere. But if you think winning is his main motivation, why would you tie yourself to this guy for 5 years? You don't believe in him. That doesn't make any sense. You, I wouldn't sign a 3 year extension if
yeah,
I don't.
Dell's saying your 3 year extension is a little much.
Yeah, if he believes the way you think he believes, you don't lock yourself into your almost 30.
Okay. Who else is going to give him, just going to go, okay, I want 42 million. Okay, done. Who else is going to do that, Del?
I understand the money is clearly a thing. But if then winning is not that important. Because
no,
you don't
bag first and then go win.
You don't lock yourself in for almost a decade with the guy if you don't think he's capable.
Get your bag.
He can get a bag that may not be 42 million in a lot of places. Kirk Cousins got a bag someplace else. You can go get your bag.
Well,
but
Kirk Cousins took him 6 years to get out of there. That's what it does. That's what it takes.
But Kirk Cousins didn't lock himself in for a decade with the Redskins. That's
no,
what you're
not
saying.
Not a decade. Deshaun will be 8 years. Will be 8 years.
21. If you're saying the next 5 years, right?
Yeah, he's so, 3 years. He's been in the league three, and he's got five more to go.
So he's got next year at 24, and then he's got the fifth year option if that happens at 25, yeah. And then that's another.
But then three, and then
fine. That's still
extension.
Eight. You don't lock. I'm just saying, if he believes the way you think he believes, don't sign an extension. Because why would you lock yourself in with Bill O'Brien for 8 years? It doesn't make any sense if you believe he's not capable of getting you to a title.
Oh my gosh, who's going to give you $42 million a year, Dell?
John, I'm telling. But then he doesn't. Then the winning doesn't matter to him.
Yes, it does. I'll win when I get out of here after I get my bag.
Okay, if you make it through your bag, you've already had two ACLs. You're gonna bank on being around and healthy at 29. You don't know that. That's putting a lot of stock in your belief that your health won't fail you.
Guess what? But you got to take that. It's the NFL, baby. You got to take that chance everywhere.
Deshaun believes Bill O'Brien's that big of a detriment to his career. You don't sign a 3 year extension. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but he'd see the other side is the money. How much money he gives you. So it's a give and take, Del. Okay? That's a give and take. You don't know anything about that. You just take and take and take.
All of a sudden, this is an attack on me because I believe Deshaun cares about winning and he wouldn't sign the deal. If he believes the way you think he believes. That's all. Maybe he has full trust in Bill O'Brien and he signs an extension. But if he's putting Bill O'Brien on the clock, it's not much of a clock because you're giving him 5 years.
Well, no, but then Bill O'Brien's going to franchise him and he's going to franchise him again. So you're still here 7 years and in franchising without guaranteed money. No matter what, you're here 7 years then.
Well,
so get your guaranteed money, and then after 8 years, get out. You have one extra year is all you got.
Well,
time to talk about
or you force yourself out.
Yeah. I want to tell you that, look, if you're going to do all that stuff and once you get your extra money, why don't – and I'm not saying this for anybody in the NFL to do this because this would get you suspended. But for those of you listening who don't have that NFL money, it's okay because Men's T Clinic can work with you and work with your insurance company to get most, if not all, of your testosterone treatments covered. It depends on your plan, of course, but they do all that. You don't have to do anything. They contact your insurance company. And here's the thing. Most insurance companies do cover at least a percentage of testosterone treatments. And here's why. It has an impact on brain cognition. It has an impact on your libido. It has an impact on lean muscle mass. It has an impact on energy levels. It has an impact on your overall quality of life. If your testosterone level drops below a certain level, like with any machine, performance is going to drop if something is missing from that machine. If you go low in oil, if you go low in gas. And it's the same thing with your body. Testosterone is something that drives you. It is part of your drive that you have, and it also has physical, and it also helps you physically, like with lean muscle mass and you know, being able to convert the belly flab and drop some of the excess belly flab around your midsection. And that's something that many guys start to experience after the age of 40, and when you do, doesn't mean that it's over for you. It means that you now need to check and see if your testosterone levels are where they're supposed to be. Because if they're not, this is really easy. You go in, you get tested. If your numbers are low, they can tailor a program directly fit for you and your body and your testosterone levels. They fine-tune it, and then you are ready to roll. MensTClinic.com. There's 5 locations in the Houston area. I suggest you find out whether or not testosterone is a problem for you right now by going to MensTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So we're back on ESPN 97.5. Can we get off Bubba Wallace now? Can people, all the idiots that are... on Bubba Wallace, the Bubba Smollett stuff and all of that stuff, can we stop now? Because it actually was a noose. There was a noose hanging. Now, was it aimed at him? I don't know. That's a great coincidence, but apparently it was there since October. But it clearly is a noose. It's different than the other rings that are pulled, garage pulls, but it was a garage pull. It was tied at like a noose. For whatever reason, that one was different than all the other ones found by the FBI. They had 11 of them in different garages, and that was the only one that was tied like a noose. So that he manufactured this, I mean...
Yeah, that's over now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's not over with. No.
Well, no, but the idea that...
But it's not.
Yeah, the idea that it was... Like if NASCAR swept through all the different bay doors and stalls at a bunch of different tracks and found the pull down ropes, but that's the only one that was in a noose.
Like, right.
Because when I saw it, so the one that I saw on video was not the big giant noose. Like I think it maybe was something that you could slip and change.
Yeah.
So maybe for the purposes of the picture, they showed that, look, this is what it maybe can look like. I don't know. Cause I saw a video where it's much smaller. It's harder to tell, but you can see,
yeah,
the ropes that go around that make it look like a noose. But when you see the picture, well, you know, there's no doubt what you could certainly fashion that. I don't know how it was made, but you could certainly fashion it into what is, it's unmistakable what the picture looks like. It's unmistakable. And that's not coming from, and I know now we have to vet where information comes. This is coming from the investigation. So It is real. I mean, it is real. And this is not something that you see around other Bay Area garages and bays. It's not a normal thing to look like that.
But how is it that it happened in October? Apparently, it's been there since October.
I think there's a chance that it was just an unusual coincidence that, I mean, if you plug everything in, this has been there since October. Okay. Yeah. So you get the African-American driver in that bay where there is the only noose in NASCAR, according to NASCAR, and their investigation, that is in the middle of racial turmoil in our country. I would say there is a chance that was just an extraordinary set of circumstances that ended up coming together at one time. Yeah, but how else do you explain it? I mean,
I don't know.
It did look like a noose to me when I saw the picture, when I finally got to see the picture.
It looks like a noose, and it's larger. Like the other ones that we saw in the other garages were much smaller. It was a ring at the bottom that was much smaller. This is fashioned like you could, like I said before, you could. The other ones that look like you can't even get a Barbie doll's head into it. So this one is this one could be lifelike and, you know, large enough to hang someone. So, but how is it that this car got in this garage with this, then it's been there since October? I mean, there's way too many coincidences, but it just, apparently, the FBI checked it out. We don't know, but the FBI checked it out and said, this has been there. And someone on their team saw this the last time they were there. So in October. So I don't know. All I know is that can all the people that hate, can the two sides, I know this is politics. I know it doesn't have anything to do with humanity. This is all about politics. Because if you're a Republican, you want to see a noose. And if you're not, you don't, or something like that. I forget what it is. So can we stop now? That it actually was a noose. He didn't plant it. That it was that maybe he did feel threatened when he saw this thing, because it does absolutely look like a noose, that somebody fashioned it to be a noose in his garage hanging. So we can all stop now. And maybe it didn't. It was a coincidence, or maybe it was there before and all of that stuff. But it did happen. And he's not Jussie Smollett. He's not race. He wasn't race baiting. And he wasn't trying to. And so we can all just move on. And we can all be happy again. So now it's all solved. And now there's unity in this country. And we found out that everyone loves each other.
All right.
Okay? So that's what we found out.
It didn't change for me.
No.
Did it change for you?
We need to change it for Del because he hates everyone.
No, he's just consistent.
He doesn't like anyone.
He has a consistent pattern of indifference.
Right.
Is that fair? Is that accurate, counselor?
Yeah, I don't really appreciate the light I get painted in, like I have active emotions towards people one way or the other. I just don't care about you.
Yeah. Well,
it's not a dislike or a like. You have done nothing to make me think of you one way or the other.
It's an active indifference.
Well, it's not even active. It's just indifference.
And if we
but it's activated at all times.
Oh, sure.
It runs
always
in the background.
On. I'm always on as far as that's concerned.
Lance, we work with him every day for how long now? And if we have not in any way, shape, or form given him any indication to care about us, how in the world can anyone dent that armor?
Well, this is 4 hours. When we talk about sports, we don't have emotional conversations. So why do you think this is a job? What are you talking about? Why would working with you for 4 hours?
A lot of people are fond of their coworkers.
Well,
Del.
A lot of people just you
do. You
know,
think
just
we get enough emotion from Del? Like, I want to ask Del some questions, see if we can really get through
some
the layers of
questions?
Indifference. Yeah, like, did you ever have a puppy or any type of?
When you were younger? I've taken care of other people's animals, like when they go on vacation, but I've never owned a dog. No.
How did that make you feel?
I like puppies.
You like puppies?
Yes, I used to. In fact, when I was delivering pizzas, I would stop after delivering a pizza. I would go out taking care of someone's dog. I'd come home, check on the dog, and then go back to work. Yeah, I like dogs.
So you did have a dog?
No, yeah. I was taking care of someone's dog.
Oh, so you took care of someone's dog.
Can I ask you how it makes you feel when John goes anti-dog and pro-cat?
I'm not anti-dog and pro-cat. That's a lie.
Well,
I'm
he
not,
just said
I'm
you're
not
lying.
Pro either. I'm pro neither.
Did you have Jinxie the cat that one time?
No, yeah, because it crapped on my wife's car. That's why.
What? That doesn't mean you keep a cat if
it
craps on your car.
It, then we had to keep it.
That's your cat.
Let me
now,
ask
your
you this,
guy.
Del. Let me ask you this, Del. Do you love your mom?
I do, quite a bit.
Tell us about that.
No.
Tell us about a painful time or
what?
A time that maybe you realized that your love for your mom was something that was a special time. Can you tell us about some?
Let me use a drop to explain what I feel about the both of you.
I don't like you at all.
No.
The only reason I'm here is they pay me.
Okay.
If they stop paying me, I would never show up.
That is Charles Barkley.
Let me ask you
that's
this
not
question.
What we're asking.
I don't care.
Don't deflect.
Del, how did you feel when you got fired?
Oh.
It didn't. It wasn't nice. It didn't feel great.
Let's explore this.
Let's talk about your.
Let's explore this space. So, take us through the next 3 days after that happened. What was your range of emotions?
If I can remember back, it was uncertainty. You don't know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of it as a career, but it was a job that I had, and I was like, this is a lot of fun. And it's not there. In fact, since it happens on a. I knew about it on a Thursday. I came into work on a Friday, and then the next couple of days, that was the weekend.
Oh, you came to work after you already knew?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's always
and
fun.
And the weekend?
Yeah. And then
you came in on the weekend?
No, not that. I mean, the weekend followed, and then you kind of take a breath, and then it doesn't hit you to that Monday when you realize, oh, yeah, I can sleep in. There's nothing for me to do.
All right. So let me know about your feelings when your brother got deported.
He wasn't well. I guess.
Do we call that a deported?
He was deported by the government.
Well, he was deported by your father.
My dad sent him
away. Did you feel good about that because you could keep all the toys to yourself?
No, I wasn't. No, because my brother was living with my dad, and I only saw my dad on the weekend, so it wasn't like.
Oh.
And he was like 16, so we weren't. And I was.
And how old
were
you?
We weren't playing with the same toys.
Oh. How did you feel though about this?
How did it make you feel when your brother was secretly deported by your dad on a trip to Home Depot?
The brother
Depot.
I had
Home
known
Depot.
For about
on a trip to Home Depot.
The brother I had known for about 5 or 6 months.
Yes.
Yeah. Overall.
Yes.
I was like, okay, you effed up. Bye.
What did he do to get deported by your dad?
He just got in a lot of trouble, and my dad determined that this environment was not great for him. Like he got he got detained. He was never arrested, but he had to spend some time in a police station for something. And my dad was like, okay, you're kind of screwing up here, so. I'll send you back to your mom.
Did this make you feel in any way, shape, or form that you had to live up to your dad's expectations or you'd be deported?
No, because if I did believe that, I wouldn't be working in radio.
You mean to tell me that my imitations of your dad being disappointed are real?
No, he doesn't express it that way. It's just, you just know, as an aerospace engineer, I can't imagine he thought radio is what you should be doing.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel now that this cleansing, that you feel better about yourself?
No, because even the questions, these alleged deep questions that you're asking, they don't mean anything.
They hit harder.
Yeah, they really
they
don't.
They hit harder.
Because they don't. It's fine because I've answered all of them.
Honestly, how do you feel right now? You feel good that you're letting it out, don't you?
No,
out,
there was nothing to let out.
You weren't ever afraid that you could get shipped off somewhere.
No, because my mother didn't live in Nigeria, so
you could get shipped to California.
He got
Florida.
He got shipped. Well, I was already in California. He got shipped out because he had a mother that lived in Nigeria. My mom was here in California. My dad was never going to be able to ship me off someplace.
It's okay.
What about to a boarding school somewhere in Connecticut?
He would never pay for that.
It's okay to cry, Del. It's okay.
I'm aware.
You can let it out.
It's not your fault.
I didn't say it was.
It's not your fault.
What do you mean?
We think it's your fault.
What do you mean it's not my fault?
It's not your fault.
When nothing actually happened to me.
I think it's his fault. I think it's his fault.
No, let's address Lance's thing. It's
not
my fault. But nothing happened to me, so why would I blame anyone?
I keep trying to get him to cry like from the Matt Damon movie.
But something would have had to. I know Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I wish. Maybe you should pass on like he did.
It's not your fault.
Why would it be my fault?
Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, see?
See, it's coming out, John.
I slipped that
in. Maybe you should pass on like he did.
I slipped that in.
Whoa, here it comes.
You want Lance to commit suicide.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know.
It's coming out. I'm not comfortable digging any deeper,
John.
Oh,
okay. Now it's not fun for you anymore.
Yeah, it's not fun anymore.
Maybe.
You know what? It was your fault.
Lance,
it is your fault.
Lance, let me ask you.
Good Will Hunting ruined it.
Let me ask you a question, Lance.
Good Del Hunting.
Do you think maybe not Robin Williams? Yeah, maybe you should go out like David Carradine did, autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, that's in a closet.
Yeah, people can see you. By the way, what you're doing right now? Do you think that would you like to go out that way?
No. Also, can you name one other person who went out that way, Del? I think Del can do it. I know one other person who went out that way from the world of pop culture?
Who?
I don't know.
Michael Hutchence, NXS.
He went out that way?
Oh. Yeah.
A new sensation.
That was the first time I heard about that. I remember when I was in school, I'm like, now what?
You know who would wouldn't want to make you do that? If you went down to Chastain Ford.
Oh, that's
good
right. Point.
If you go down to Chastain Ford, my friends, all you got to do, you won't think about any of that kind of stuff. No, it's wholesome. It's wonderful. Listen, you will feel emotional after you get your car from Chastain Ford. The beautiful F-150s, F-250s, the Expeditions, the Explorer. You got to check out the Explorer Sport. It is fantastic. It is a it's a sporty SUV. It's a little bit smaller than the Expedition. But man, is it a good looking and a nice, nice car. I got a buddy that he's had Land Rovers, Range Rovers. He said, this is nicer. This is nicer. Loves this car. So if you're looking for this vehicle, then you get it at Chastain Ford, the number one commercial Ford truck dealership in the city of Houston. And you say, Chastain Ford, really? That's right, because the businesses, they all trust Chastain Ford that they're going to put them in the perfect vehicle. Patrick told me, he said, there's businesses that want to get a certain truck, and we're like, no, that's not what you're going to use it for. You need this truck. Just trust us on this, and they're right all the time because they've got the experience. And they're in the retail game as well, and they're doing unbelievable things. And if you're looking for that car or truck right now, get to Chastain Ford with 84 months of no interest, no payments for 6 months, and nothing down. All at Chastain Ford, two exits from 59 on 610, Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. You can buy online as well at Chastain Ford. You'll be part of the family at Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Play those sad songs they show on TV when puppies need adoption to get Dell to cry. I don't think that'll get Dell to cry.
No, it wouldn't. I've seen those. They don't get me to cry.
The only thing that can get Dell to cry is if the Hurricanes hire Al Golden again.
Well, that wouldn't get me to cry. That'll just leave me resonated to another 5 to 6 years of misery. But I wouldn't cry about that. I've already been through that. I've already dealt with those emotions.
What can we do to make you cry?
I don't know. Like actual committing a crime that hurts my family? Probably nothing.
Oh. Damn.
Sorry.
I don't want any violence befallen on you. Well, I just want to get you to cry from emotions.
Well, I don't. Emotions I have, but they're not going to be elicited by anything you two clowns do.
Damn.
Sorry. This is how it
seems.
It is
aggressive. He's still got this aggression in him, Lance, even after our therapy session.
The puppy thing shook people. Because they're like, wait a minute, I thought Dell was just a robot. Dell was a robot. Some people are saying that it's been said.
Who said that?
They've said that.
Who is
they? You could be a robot.
Some people.
People. And
very nice people on both sides?
People have said that you might be a robot, but then the puppy thing made it sound like you were a human. Now, maybe that's AI. Maybe that's AI.
Maybe I'm adapting.
Maybe it's machine learning and you're adapting. That could be.
Yeah.
Or maybe you are human and you have human feelings.
I care about things. I just don't care about you.
Yeah, but they're one and the same.
No, you're not everything. You're just one person. One cowboy fan.
I'm not a cowboy fan.
You wear a cowboy hat.
John, do you remember when Dallas the show cowboy started hats. In good old days when we were talking about how Lewis called yesterday and he was sick in a hospital on COVID and then he started listening to the show and said he got better. And then, threw in a comment about treatment with remdesivir and steroids, but one of the things that he intimated was that it was our show that really pulled him out of it. And I remember when the show was focused on that at about 7:06 instead of 8:36 when it's not.
Well, who brought up, hey, let's dive into Dell's mental psychology? Who was that? Yeah, so don't blame me for that. Blame your boy.
No, I kind of feel like I just need Dell to cleanse himself, and he'll be happier with his life, happier that he's, part of our community.
What community is that?
And a contributing member of the bench community.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't mind being contributing to the bench community. I just don't have to like the people who I'm helping to contribute to.
What? You're like, this is like the 78 Yankees for you, isn't it?
No, because they hated each other. I don't care about you.
You don't care enough to hate. That's right. I forgot.
I'm pretty clear on that particular issue.
You're like Jay Cutler. You really don't care about anything.
Well, that feels accurate.
Yeah.
Dell is the Jay Cutler of radio.
That's it. Just like, whatever. I don't care.
Someone's asking me, would I cry if people died? Dell, would you cry if John died? I can't promise that. Steve says, Dell, if George R. Martin died and we have to live this stupid HBO ending of Game of Thrones, would make us all cry? I don't think I would cry. I would say, George, you had a decade. You knew this was coming. You're not in the greatest of health. But I wouldn't cry. If you take away Dell's spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, he would probably have a breakdown and cry. I wouldn't have a breakdown. I wouldn't cry. I would be, what are you doing, Chick-fil-A? You're making a bad decision.
What would elicit the most emotion from you?
I can't predict that. I don't know.
Have you never cried in a movie?
I have. I mean, not bawling, but there might be a welled up and stuff.
Which one?
I don't remember.
I want to play it on a continuous loop.
On the
what if I told you Matt and Kim were breaking up?
I don't care about Matt and Kim.
Who?
It's a band that he thinks I like because their song is programmed into the system, so I play it sometimes. I don't care about Matt and Kim. I don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Didn't Johnny Five from Short Circuit like puppies too? That robot theory might still be on the table.
Well, no, everyone likes puppies. I wouldn't go to puppies as a delineating line.
John
everyone
doesn't like puppies. He's indifferent to puppies.
Well, no, puppies pee and they don't. They have no.
So who's worse,
control.
Him or me? He doesn't like puppies.
John's probably worse.
Yeah,
I never said that you were number one. Yeah, you're just a hard, firm number two.
I'm not two because I don't care about you. I'm a hard, firm number. I don't go out of my way to hurt you. How am I a bad person?
Are you going to cry because we have the massive Sahara dust cloud coming to Houston?
Maybe Lance will. I don't care
about
that.
Did you see outside what it looks like? The haze is real. They say you're going to get...
It is real.
They said, look, on the negative side, it's going to be probably the worst air quality that we've had in Houston ever. It's going to, it's going to cause massive issues with allergies and this, that, and the other. And they ran down the negatives, but they said, on the positives... The sunsets and sunrises are going to be amazing. The orange.
Why?
I don't know, because it's going to change the
through
filter.
The haze?
It's like a filter on Instagram. It's going to change the reds and the oranges.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they say your sunsets. I saw it yesterday. It's actually accurate. They say your sunsets and sunrises are going to be maybe a little more spectacular, and that it also will tamp down tropical depressions. It's going to be less likely that we get any tropical depressions.
Yeah. Right. That's for sure. Yeah. That is happening. So we don't have to worry about that right now, but we still could well get them. Why does Kevin Durant have to speak? Can somebody answer me that question? Even if he was healthy, I don't think I'd play in a bubble. Okay, Kev. All right. Whatever.
Oh, man, I can't. Would the Nets stop talking, please? Stop talking,
honestly.
Nets. No one cares what y'all have to say, Nets. Hurt Nets players. Stop talking. Get your hurt Nets coalition and go somewhere else.
So I saw a huge – I mean, they had a giant – oh, my God, Stephen A. and Max yesterday, because the Knicks hired World Wide West, and they seem to feel that this is going to turn the entire organization around.
Well, okay, so West is kind of a – people don't know, World Wide West is kind of a...
Oh, he's huge.
Kind of a fixer. He's kind of a... He just... I don't know. What's the best way to describe World Wide West?
He is an ambassador. He's like... He has more connection than anybody ever in any sport. I mean, this dude is... He's locked up. A guy who is in basketball told me about him. He said World Wide West is... Unbelievable.
Been this way for a long time.
Yeah.
He's from Camden, New Jersey. Played high school basketball in New Jersey. He became, let's say, playing for rival Camden High School was Milt Wagner, who later went on to University of Louisville in NBA. Wagner claims that Wesley became his friend and confidant during high school, and that he introduced Wesley to Michael Jordan, among other pro athletes. Here's what it says on Wikipedia, and this I would say is accurate. Worldwide West is a consultant for CAA, a huge agency. Known as Worldwide West or simply West, Wesley is noted for his relationships with numerous high-profile NBA players, team owners, college basketball head coaches, and their agents, considered by many observers within the industry as a power broker and one of the most influential men in the business side of basketball. Here's my question. I've known that about Worldwide West for a while, but I don't know the specifics. Like, I don't know how he's a power broker. I don't know all the specifics. You can find some of it in his background. But the question I'm going to have is, at age 55, because Worldwide West got into this at a very young, young age. Does he still have juice?
Yes.
Do you think he still has juice with 20-somethings?
Yeah.
He's 35 years old.
I think he's well-respected by even young players. Yes, I think that he still has that juice. Now, the question is, though, can he
Jordan
turn
doesn't
this,
even have that juice
Can
anymore.
Even Worldwide West, one of the most connected men in basketball history, even turn this Knicks team around? Like you got to go get – okay, so is somebody really going to come to the Knicks because Worldwide West wants him to? Now, maybe he can put together, if there's an offseason of 2 and 3, you know, big-name free agents. But I'm of the opinion – I was like, Max Kellerman yesterday was like, until James Dolan sells the team, it's a mess. It starts from the top on down, and he's the worst owner in all the sports. And until he gets rid of the team, I don't know that you can trust. You can trust James Dolan. Even if I'm a great player. Now, do you see that, like, New York is still the most valuable franchise in the NBA. As pitiful as they are, it's still the Mecca. Still the Mecca. And it's amazing that that is the case for one of the worst franchises in all the sports in America. And yet it still holds that kind of value and that kind of esteem. So maybe he'll be able to get it done. Maybe he will. It's certainly a start away from James Dolan.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you guys see the round that Mackenzie Hughes put together yesterday? 10 under 60. I mean, that is just Victor Hovland at -8, Rory McIlroy at -7.
When you get to a par 72 course, let me know. I don't pay attention to par 70 courses.
Are actually harder because there's two fewer par 5s, which these guys dominate. So,
like I said, par 70, big deal. That's like a 60-game season or a truncated Premier League season.
No, it's nothing like that, actually.
I put an asterisk next to that.
Actually, it's like a 190-game season. It's much harder. Because these guys dominate par fives. So there's two fewer par fives. So there's that. But otherwise, your theory is pretty good.
No, my theory is great.
Uh-huh. Why don't we just say, wake me up when golf actually matters, and then I'll care. I think that should have come out of your mouth.
Golf matters every day. These rounds are every single shot. You didn't see, that's what you guys don't get.
How many golf fans do you think own a shirt that says golf matters?
Do they make
it? You know
it?
What? Oh, do you? How would those people get canceled in today's society? Well, golf
they
matters.
They couldn't. You can't cancel golf.
No, you could cancel those people that wear golf matters
well,
shirts.
Well, you can't. You can cancel a golfer who wears it. Certainly a professional golfer. But how many golf fans simply? I'm going to look it up. let's see if a Golf Matter t-shirt actually exists.
I don't think you could cancel a golfer for wearing Golf Matters. I think they'd take a bunch of heat. Well, whatever cancels means, I guess.
Are you kidding?
Get made fun of on Twitter or whatever, but I think he'd still keep playing golf.
Matters. If you make fun of the word matters nowadays, you're canceled. Fan.
Well, I think you'd still be allowed to play golf for using the M word.
I don't think matters is the
matters. Can you say matters?
Okay. Gavel's
been hit.
Gavel's been hit.
Yeah.
Can you say golf matters?
I suggest that you move on to the next thing, witness.
Yes. Asked and answered.
Listen, I want to be on the record that I didn't say the hard R, matters. I said matters.
I don't think matters is the problem. I don't think matters is the issue in terms of those type of t-shirts. But move on. I won't belabor the point, Your Honor. In fact, I'm done with questioning.
You're done with the questioning here. Well, all I got to say is Rory finally turned in a decent round, which is nice. Bryson DeChambeau still up there, bombing away, eating whatever he wants, 290 pounds, just all bowed up. My boy Mark Hubbard, who I told you guys about, he was on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. I played golf. Did you guys ever play golf with him? No. He's up there at -4. My life's good. My life is great right now. Other than I didn't pick Rory this week on my fantasy team. That's a problem. So there's that. But you guys, you feel for me. I know you.
Lance, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When John does this, do you think he's doing this for an audience of one, being himself? Because he's not really talking to us.
I feel like
it's
self-indulgent.
Yeah, he's not really talking to us right now.
Golf,
and he knows
matters.
He's not. Yeah, and he's aware. He's just, let me get this out because the people in my home don't want to hear it. But I do have the ability to talk to, and some, depending on who's listening, a lot of people, and I'll just get it out.
All right. If you're a golf fan and you want to talk golf, give us a call. 713-780.
Absolutely.
3776.
You can call about anything, honestly. It doesn't have to be golf.
Honestly, give a call in and let's talk about the Travelers. 713-780-3776.
Are they Travelers, the Gypsies?
Yeah, I don't think you want to talk about the Gypsies, John.
You want to talk about bare knuckle fighting for the Travelers?
No, it's the Travelers Insurance Company.
Well, let's be clear, because I see those dudes in the Peaky Blinders, and they're not nothing to mess with.
No, I don't want to mess with Travelers.
Golf is nothing to mess with, and you two are.
Oh, this is the Travelers Tour. Sometimes we play five holes, and sometimes we duke it out bare knuckles. Like, I would watch the Travelers Tour. If there's a golf tour with Travelers and Gypsies and caravans, you're stepping on my line? Do something about it? I'll do something about it. I challenge you to a fist fight after the third round. I'm watching Marcella now, so I'm getting my Irish.
Marcella. Give me a show
Netflix.
To watch. Give me a show.
I don't think John would like Marcella.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think you would like Marcella.
By the way,
a show to watch.
For you sci-fi people, season 3 of Dark is coming out tomorrow. Or maybe later, or maybe early in the morning, maybe 2 a.m. or something. Dark Netflix. If you don't mind reading German subtitles, or you can just flip on to the dub in English if you want to do that instead. I don't.
Is it a German show?
No. Yes.
Pure German show, or is it just elements of it?
It's called it's a German sci-fi show. It's called Dark. It's complicated. You can't be a passive watcher. Like, you can't be someone, it's on the...
Like my wife claims she can watch TV and get on her computer and a phone. I can multitask. No, you can't.
No. And particularly this show, well, clearly, if you don't understand German, you can't do it. But also, there's so much going on. There's different timelines. You're going back in time. You can't be a passive person. You have to lock in on that show and watch it, because you won't understand a damn thing if you don't. But season 3 comes out tomorrow. I'm all in. I think it'll be the final season. It's really, really good. If you like twisty, psychological sci-fi
stuff.
So if
I like Dark Mirror, I should like Dark?
It isn't the same where it's like discussing humanity in that aspect, but there's some of that involved. Yeah, I think you would if you're down with having shows that have theories and like things that get taken to Reddit for people to explain it, because I don't do that, but there's like an online community about it.
I may check that out, because I remember when it first came out that there was some heat around it, and I saw two German kids disappear, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready right now to get into some show about German kids disappearing. It's, I already know that I'm going to have to read subtitles and really focus, but now nothing else really going on. I'm
and
good.
We got a week off coming, so.
I got some time. Yeah, I may lock in on
so
that one. John, have you ever seen Black? Have you seen all the Black Mirrors?
I haven't seen them all. I was like, it's a lot of the same. You know, we're trying to just stun you or just to, it's, you know, too, it was weird. I don't know. I thought it was okay. I thought some, you know, nice little stories, but,
I'm not a huge anthology person either. I prefer a serial where I know, where there's, there, as opposed to these one-offs, but the Black Mirror stuff is cool. You're asking, John, I'm trying to think of something that would fit as far as a series is concerned for you.
Well, did you ever start watching the Fargos?
Yes, I did.
All three seasons?
No, I watched the first season.
Yeah, I think all the Fargos are fantastic.
It was pretty good, yeah. I just think that...
you get Mary Elizabeth Winstead in season three, John. You might want to stick in.
We know that's your girl.
Yeah, we know that.
And yours too, Del.
Maybe the center, John.
That gavel is going to be...
John might like the center.
I think you might like the center. There's two seasons of it right now on Netflix. The third season completed. I don't know when it'll be on Netflix. But if it's crime dramas... both series.
Oh, yeah, the center is?
Yeah, Bill Pullman is the detective in both seasons. I think he's going to be the detective in all seasons. I think you'd be a fan of the center.
I'm a real fan of real stories.
Well, I don't think these are they're not true crime per se, but they're not like these fantastical things.
Right.
They're believable stories about a person doing something brutal, and then they get into – like you'll find out – you know who commits the crime early on. Or what happens early on, and then they go through the process of finding out what led to all of it, and they do a pretty good job of it.
You for sure saw True Detective season one. I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Two. I actually stopped with one episode to go. I think I was
two
just
made me not want to see three.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get to three. Sorry,
one
Mahershala.
One was spectacular.
And one was fantastic.
Yeah. One was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One was fantastic.
Talking about gypsies, is JFF making a comeback? No, Johnny effing football? What does that have to do with gypsies?
Some people believe Johnny's a gypsy.
Do they really?
Yep.
Why?
Well, some people on Twitter.
Huh. Wow. We flew over the Saharan dust plume today in the west central Atlantic. Amazing how large an area it covers. Wow.
Oh,
wow.
It's huge.
The difference in how it looks above. How gray it is over how blue it is where it's not. Holy crap. It's huge.
Yikes.
Dust.
Look at some of these pictures. They just say it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be. But I think you're going to like the sunsets, John.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's great. 856 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Lance got another hour here. So get in and let's talk some golf. 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.